This is November 5th, 2023. We were having a hot discussion about what's really happening overseas, all the different players, who's wearing white hats, who's not, and black hats, and what's going on. And we're in the middle of a discussion. I think, Brian, you have some comments you want to add.
Yeah, I'm just going to try to throw a little context here. When did we become Team America World Police? Team America / Israel World Police? When are we the ones that determine that Jordan's neighbor is acting righteously or unrighteously? When are we the ones that decided that we would put our foot down and determine that these are the good people and these are the bad people and these people have done bad things and these, hell, we've been installing dictators, working to change out regimes, making sure that everything was in our interest for hundreds of years. How did we make it to the top? How all of a sudden are we the ones that are being bombarded with the propaganda campaigns to get us to support another invasion of another foreign country's soil? Hell, we went along with Ukraine against Russia. It's a proxy war. It's an American proxy war. Now we're doing an American proxy war, helping Israel clean out Gaza so that they can have that property too and all the gas that's underneath it. This world is probably about had enough. Egypt, Israel, Jordan, Lebanon, and I didn't mean to put Israel in there, but take a look at Pakistan. Take a look at Afghanistan. These are international conflicts that we've had our nose up their asses for years. We've got to stop this. This is not how the American Constitution was built. This is not how, but unfortunately, it's how American politicians are built, on the heels of payouts to make sure that we support the right war to get the right people rich. It's getting old. We need to stop and do a little introspection as America. We need to stop getting involved in these wars, step back from all this killing and all this bullshit and all this military stuff, step back from it and pay attention. We don't even have a border. We don't even have a southern border. And we're going to be out there telling Israel and Gaza where the new border is going to be? We're the ones that are going to do it? We can't take care of what happens at our home. Look at the streets of any major urban city. Tell me there's not a problem at home. Why in the hell are we spending all of our time and all of our energy worried about what the hell happens to some tribe in the Middle East? Let's not do that anymore. We should focus on what's happening here. And I'm telling you something, we got 23 Senate seats coming up. We got a presidential election coming up. We got all sorts of local elections that have important things going on. We've got all sorts of things happening at home. We should worry about what's happening at home and let these, look, granted, all these wars are going to lead to Armageddon. Somebody's going to unleash the big bomb. It's going to happen sooner or later here or there. But in the meantime, don't we have bigger problems to worry about over here? I hate to say it, but guys, this is a complex world where a lot of different facets on a diamond are happening here. And we're sitting here watching football wondering, hey, you know, we'll do the best we can. And Scott was saying off air how you go to the local bar or go to the local library, talk to people. Nobody has a damn clue what's going on because we simply don't. We should worry about what's happening here.
I think we all agree with that, Brian, but because these foreign affairs make a difference to us, because our government has gone all in for Israel. They want to have a draft, for God's sake. I mean, there's nothing more disruptive to our lives than having the wrong administration in office. That's a big problem for us, sad to say.
Karar resmi gazetede yayımlandı.
Meanwhile, the world against the U.S. and Israel attacks to expand and intensify. Outside the U.S. opposition to the massacre of thousands of children and the ongoing genocide is rapidly rising. That opposition coming from the Muslim nations in a rare show of solidarity, Shia Muslims are united with Sunni. In addition to the Muslim nation, China and Russia have issued very stern warnings. Can the U.S. military, 68% of service members of whom are reportedly obese and unfit for combat, take on the entire world? Earlier today, Netanyahu stated he was rejecting calls for a ceasefire and that the Israeli military is saying their operations are going to expand and intensify. Rear Admiral Dan O'Hagan, an Israeli spokesman, declined to comment where the forces are deployed, but said additional forces that entered Gaza in operation would continue to expand and intensify. Since Netanyahu doesn't even have a majority of Israelis supporting him, this asks, is Netanyahu committing national suicide? Iran. When Israel strikes in Gaza became over, the rumblings began. When Israel threatened to invade Gaza, Hezbollah warned it would enter the fight. This stopped Israel at this moment. The U.S. stepped in. It sent two aircraft carrier groups offshore, moved the 101st Airborne from Romania to Jordan, beefed up its aviation side, is transporting more military equipment and supplies to Egypt. Turkey, 2 days ago, Erdogan announced Turkish Navy is conducting live drills that will be next to U.S. ships in the area. Noticeably mentioned they would be live. That's real bullets and real rockets. Syria. The U.S. has activated ISIS in Syria, which has launched a series of attacks against the Syrian army. This happened the moment Syria began firing rockets at Israeli positions in the Golan Heights. Egypt has moved tanks to the Gaza border with the intention of intervening if Israel invades Gaza. Iraq, the Shia paramilitary, known as the PMUs, have started sending forces to Syria and Lebanon in anticipation of entering the war in Yemen. The Houthis are prepared to use their long-range drones and missiles to strike Israel. The entire region is gearing up for war against Israel, and U.S. bases in the region are in the crosshairs. From strategic patience to strategic anger, continuous destruction of tanks with Russian Cornet anti-tank rockets, disabling radar and surveillance, regular rocket barrages bomb Gaza, targeted strike from Hezbollah, nonstop bombing of Tel Aviv, recording an unprecedented historical record of casualties, its citizens and soldiers being taken captive. Our achievements the resistance has accomplished in a remarkably short period of time. The Rothschild family of London and Paris did not expect this. All their plans for the past 3 years have collapsed. Its captive EU, Australia, New Zealand, and Canada don't know what to do other than threaten anyone who supports Hamas. Similarly, were the Rockefellers in New York. The old tired and true trick of pressuring the Arab to clamp down on the resistance has ended. Witness the reception Blinken received from Sisi in Egypt, cold and dismissive. Even worse in Saudi Arabia. MBS kept Blinken waiting an entire night, and he gave it to Blinken. No American official had been so publicly humiliated over the past 8 decades. And Biden was off to meet in Jordan with the king and other Arab neighbors, but they called the meeting off. No one wants to meet with the Americans. They blame the U.S. for the conflict. Meanwhile, Ted Rall writes, President Biden has declared Israel has a right to defend itself and its people. Thou shalt not kill is probably the oldest, most widespread moral and legal edict in human civilization, common to nearly every culture. However, there's one universal exception. Even in countries that prohibit capital punishment and euthanasia, murder, really, it should be killing, is permitted in self-defense. So real meaning should be thou shalt not murder, which is deliberately but wrongly killing a person. Self-defense is not murder, it is killing. What is self-defense? Israel is framing its war against Gaza as their legitimate right under international law to defend themselves. We're in a war for our sovereignty, our existence, set ourselves two fundamental objectives, to eradicate Hamas military and governmental capabilities, and do everything possible to bring the hostages held by the Palestinian Islamist group back home. Netanyahu said, there's no place for a balanced approach. Hamas must be raced off the planet. Indeed, there's nothing balanced about Israel's carpet bombing. Has destroyed half the homes in Gaza. Israel's killed many times more Palestinians than it lost in October 7th. A ground invasion will unleash more misery and mayhem as it is. Reasonable people may disagree over whether Israel's response is justified or likely to prove effective, but no one should call it self-defense. Article 51 of the UN Charter permits self-defense if an armed attack occurs against a member of the UN. October 7th was an armed attack. Until the UN Security Council has taken measures necessary to maintain international peace and security as a UN member state. Israel should have requested assistance from the Security Council. They should still do that. Israel's claim to self-defense ended hours after the Hamas attack, when the Israeli Defense Forces killed or routed Hamas fighters on Israeli territory and retook control of areas overrun. The status quo ante was restored as of October 8th, with the exception of the more than 200 hostages seized and now held by Hamas. Israel's bombing campaign, which began on October 8th, might only be justified as a preemptive act of self-defense, a military campaign to prevent future terrorist attack by Hamas. Bush claimed in its invasion of Iraq fell into this category, but that war failed the so-called Caroline test formulated by the U.S. in the 19th century that guides international law. In 1837, Secretary of State Webster declared a nation state could only justify the use of military force in case of an imminent threat. That was instant, overwhelming, leaving no choice of means and no moment of deliberation. And these conditions being satisfied, military action should be proportional, nothing unreasonable or excessive. Since the act, justified by the necessity of self-defense, must be limited by that necessity and kept clearly within it. Self-defense is not a blank check for unlimited vengeance or retribution. A nation state is only permitted to apply the bare minimum of force necessary to repel or neutralize a threat. Though greatly reduced after having been driven back into Gaza, a threat does remain from Hamas. There are the hostages and rockets fired into Israel. Neither, however, justifies carpet bombing or a ground invasion. Bombing actually imperils the hostages. Hamas primitive rockets without guidance system reportedly kill an average of 3 Israelis a year. As deplorable and tragic as that might be, the bombing campaign that's killed over 7,000 people in 3 weeks is wildly disproportionate under the Caroline test, to say nothing of a ground invasion. The rules-based international order is obviously broken down. Who can remember the last time UN troops parachuted into a crisis zone to establish peace and order, much less did it well? Israel can be forgiven for dismissing that option out of hand. But just because everyone breaks the rules doesn't mean they're not still the rules, under the rules as they stand. What Israel is doing can be characterized in many ways, but not as self-defense. Scott, your thoughts?
Well, there's a new superpower that's emerged, and that is a combination of Russia, China, Iran, and Saudi Arabia. The BRICS nations as a whole, but specifically those nations, are forming a superpower based on economic vitality and natural resource vitality. And Afghanistan has wanted to join it. Every other nation has. So the new rising superpower of a conglomerate of nations that is unified using economic productivity, prosperity, business, is the polar opposite to what the United States has forcibly dominated the rest of the world with after, I'd say, 1970. And that is, you know, there's the rules-based order where the United States makes the rules, but it doesn't apply the rules to itself. The rules-based order versus the natural law-based order. Natural law is what the BRICS nations and the, which is quite accidental. It was never intended to be what it is. It was a creation, again, by the forcible strangulation of economic sanctions imposed by the United States against Russia and China and Iran. And the economic strangulation followed with kinetic military bullying and threatening and dismantling of nations from Bosnia to Yugoslavia to the Eastern European nations after the fall of the Soviet Union, by the deception operations and the expansion against Russia, the attempt to cannibalize Russia in the 1990s. I mean, we have long memories, thank God. As Brian said, most of the people in this country are fat, dumb, and happy and medicated. And I think if they're vaccinated, they're dead men walking. But we're in a nation of fat, smiling zombies. But the emergence of an alternative superpower under the BRICS organization, the disintegration of any moral weight that the U.S. had, which is being demonstrated, it's being broadcast, it's being advertised around the world with the transgender rainbow flag, castration of your children, letting girls swim in guys' races and guys dress up as women and flash in girls' locker rooms. This is the new world, the new rules order. This is our European values, British values, American values, hogwash. It's not my values. It's perversion, it's evil, it's demonism. And I stand against it. And any nation that stands against it, I stand with. So this emergence of alternative powers and political powers is going to drive the rest of the world away from the United States, because it seems like we are incapable of having a Nineveh moment where we recognize our moral bankruptcy. We turn from our wicked ways, we demonstrate repentance and humility, and we, in demonstration and purging and repentance, we invite the blessing of God. If we're incapable of doing that, we will go the way of Sodom and Gomorrah. Lastly, I foresee the dismantling of the walls around Gaza will follow the track similar to the dismantling of the walls around Western Eastern Germany in 1990. When the walls just were torn down, hammered with sledgehammers, that's going to happen to this Israeli prison camp that they've erected, I think slowly. I think it's just going to emerge. You're going to have thousands of people going there, tens of thousands, and the dismantling of the walls and the public turning of the page that Palestine is a free nation. Palestine is recognized by BRICS. Palestine has BRICS investing into it, and Israel has nothing to say. And if it takes any military action against Palestine or the BRICS countries that are investing in it, it will be ostracized and economically cut off, if not militarily destroyed, by this BRICS superpower that's emerging. So I foresee these walls and this isolation and imprisonment of Gaza following the same release that occurred in 1990 when the walls came down around after the Soviet Union fell. Jim?
Fascinating. Brian?
Well, we're talking fundamentally about the decline and the demise of Western society. I mean, look, we used to have a very well-developed sense of fair play. We used to have a very well-developed moral compass. We used to be able to act like an umpire and call right and wrong in a fair play game, but now we don't. We're the ones that are rigging the game, and we're rigging the system, and we're making sure that the players that are out there don't understand how to play according to the rules. The rest of the world has caught on. It's becoming very clear and very obvious to the rest of the world that America will align itself with whoever's willing to buy it or buy off its politicians. And America will do whatever they're paid to do. Israel has said terrible things about American people. Henry Kissinger called our military age male, military men are just dumb, stupid animals to be used as pawns in foreign policy. Is that who we are? Dumb, stupid people to be used as pawns in foreign policy? Is that really what we are as a nation? I think Scott's right. It's time for repentance and reflection. I don't know what else to say, but as a society, we have to figure out which way is up and which way is down. If we can't figure out what's a man and what's a woman, I'll tell you what. Why don't we have one game? Let's have seven games. Let's pit the best high school basketball boys team against the best WNBA girls team, and let's show who's boss. Okay, let's just, everybody would tune in to see that, right? An absolute routing of this supported propaganda agenda campaign that is the WNBA, that's clearly out there. It's a part of our society. Let I hate to say it, bread and circus, but Americans really don't respond to rational thought anymore. We don't have the capabilities or the critical thinking skills. Hell, look at the garbage they get away with in terms of their false flags. And what, there's a couple of us sitting around here studying them out, busting them out. There's a few of us in tiny little corners of the internet that can, that have the capabilities of breaking this thing out with all the general, with all the people out there that see it. Ridiculous. We've lost our minds. We need to go back to the drawing board. And the cure for that is introspection. We have to stop and look in, inspect ourselves, find our weaknesses, and then look out and say, how do we now then treat our neighbor? And how do we now then take that to the foreign policy level and the political level?
Good. Very good. Meanwhile, hundreds of thousands of Axis of Resistance soldiers surround Israel. Hezbollah's first ballistic attack on Israel bases. Hezbollah's made a major escalation when it attempted to target multiple Israeli bases at the border using Birkin ballistic missiles that carry a 100 to 500 kilogram warhead. A Lebanese security official confirmed the report of the first use of the Birkin 2. Another escalation here in a tweet. Hezbollah terrorists used Birkin rocket for the first time against the surveillance force of the IDF. Footage captured a moment when Hezbollah fired a 500-kilogram Birkin II mortar, also referred to as the Jamani mortar, put into service for the first time against the Israeli army on the northern front. Israeli aircraft and artillery hit several Hezbollah positions in South Lebanon. The IDF released footage showing strikes on Hezbollah positions in southern Lebanon. Its targets included infrastructure and metal rocket warehouses, compounds used by the terrorist group. Several massive airstrikes were conducted by the Israeli Air Force in southern Lebanon after launch of Birkin rockets at the IDF. Hundreds of thousands of Shiites surround Israel from Syria, Lebanon, and Iraq. The team amps up Syria's power. Its number estimated 170,000 fighters in Iraq, several thousand in southern Syria. They have the ability to launch ballistic missiles and kamikaze drones. We remind you, Hezbollah itself has 130,000. The two wings in Lebanon and Iraq together have over 300,000. Hezbollah forces in Lebanon were reinforced with Iranian fighters from the Iman Hussein Brigade. According to the Arab press, these militias have been operating for several days. Along with Hezbollah allies, the group has escalated attacks on Israel. We are not fully aligned with Hezbollah, said the deputy head of the Political Bureau of the Islamic Group, but we disagree with them on some things, but we are with them in resistance against Israel. The Alma Research Senator said the Iman Hussein Brigade is a militia composed mainly of Iraqi Shiites integrated into the regular Syrian army, operating mainly in the Damascus area. The entire 4th Division, commanded by Maher Assad, brother of Syrian President Bashar Assad, has evolved into Iran's long arm. It reports directly to the Quds Force, the campaign arm of the Iranian Revolutionary Guards. Islamic Resistance in Iraq has just announced that next week they'll be beginning a new phase in their fight for the people of Palestine. In the name of God, the most gracious, the most merciful, permission has been given to those who fight because they've been wronged, and indeed God is able to grant them victory. Believe God Almighty in support of our people in Palestine. To avenge the martyrs. Next week, we'll begin a new phase in confronting the enemy. It'll be more severe and widespread on its bases in the region. More. Israel has ended communication with Russia. Readiness of the F-35 squadron for Syria and Lebanon. Israel closed all communication with Russia after Moscow moved to get Hamimin Air Base to Iran for resupplying Hezbollah while putting all F-35 squadrons on high alert. It's very likely Israel will attempt risky new bombings in Iranian of Iranian and pro-Iranian position in Syria, even near Russian military bases. The U.S. has intelligence that Syrian President Bashar al-Assad has agreed to provide Hezbollah with a Russian-made surface-to-air SA-22 missile system. Wagner has been tasked with carrying out the delivery. Today at 1600, Hezbollah's ultimatum to Israel expires. Russian media report, Hezbollah asked Israel to withdraw its army from the Gaza Strip. Hezbollah leader Hassan Nasrallah is expected to speak. The day before, the group released footage showing military preparation for missile launches. Apparently, it's a hint Hezbollah is ready to open a new front. His much-anticipated speech will be broadcast on Friday, commemorating the militants killed in the Israeli bombing. BBC Jeremy Bowen gives his own assessment. He could just say certain things to contain the boiling cauldron in the region, or he will put some red lines in Israel, warning them to watch themselves. What the Israelis fear most is that could say, we just push the button and the rockets are headed your way. It's known Hezbollah hit 19 points with rockets in northern Israel yesterday. He's wearing a ring very similar to the ring worn by Qasem Soleimani when he was assassinated by the Americans in 2020. Indeed, his body was identified only by the ring on his hand. So everyone in the region will get a message, and Israel should be really worried about what Hezbollah is capable of doing. Remember, Hezbollah has defeated the Israeli army before. Hezbollah released another footage of Nasrallah preparing his speech with the ring similar to or the same as Soleimani's. Meanwhile, Russia prepares something big, sevenfold production, increase in production of battle tanks. In addition, some types of ammo have been giving a staggering 60-time boost. We increased production several times in just 1 year. The production of tanks increased 7 times, light armored vehicles, 4.5, artillery, 2.5, ammunition, some products, 60 times. He highlighted the ongoing modernization at Rostec, stressing the company's equipment is constantly evolving and improving. In an earlier statement, Alexander Petrov, CEO of Galvagodva Concern, a subsidiary of Rostec, revealed they're currently investing in a feasibility of building new T-80 BVM tanks. The project is a top priority, explicitly requested by the military authorities. The significant increase of Moscow tank production by 7 times in 1 year is, among other things, a replenishment of the old tank technology lost in the fronts of the war of Ukraine. Scott, your thoughts about these developments?
Well, I see the Wagner group being mobilized and inserted in mercenary capacity to aid the assembling Turkish, Syrian, Iraqi, Iranian, Northern Front that is going to be triggered by Israel's attack upon Syrian air bases, and they'll destroy Russian personnel as well. That will be crossing the Rubicon for Israel. Again, they've angered and betrayed the Russians in their adventures in Ukraine. So I see Russia preparing itself. Again, the bottom line is Russia can't afford to allow Turkey to fall, Syria to fall, Iran to fall, and it will not allow those countries to fall. Neither will China. So Russia, China are going to be absolutely foundational to the preservation of the Middle East, while Israel is pursuing its Odinanon plan. It's trying to break up and fracture every Muslim nation into smaller pieces, as the 7 countries in 5 years have tried to do. And the West's delusional self-hypnotic trance of we're the exceptional nation. We can do anything. We can fight two fronts of a war. We can give money in the billions. We're America, says Joe Biden. No, that day's ending. The money value of America is ending. The political isolation of America is ending. Europe will be going the way of Russia. It will be cutting off the United States as all sorts of turmoil may be engulfed. The moment France or Britain or Germany steps in and is part of this Israeli aggression, the Arabs in their country are going to let them know in all sorts of explosive ways. And I think that will ripple in a general removal of these European politicians and governments. So Russia is positioning itself to be king of the hill, capture the flag, and the U.S. is going to be knocked out of the game. And unless we have that reflection, that introspection moment, and reevaluate who we are as Americans, what our Constitution is, what we are in the eyes of the world, and what we're not, unless we have a major self-reflection moment, we're going to be doomed to complete disintegration. It's like the raft, the reeds that hold the raft together are disintegrating, and we're going to split up into a bunch of logs, a bunch of separate states and separate regions, as the Republican form of government dissolves. And I'd say also finally, the American Republicans who have leapt into this Israeli support, financing without pause. This could be the end of the Republican Party in the next, I don't foresee a 2024 election, but if the Republicans, if things go squirrely and things get ugly and you have U.S. bases and U.S. cities and Washington being hit and all sorts of terrorist activities happening, and the Republicans doubling, tripling down on this tired old war philosophy, it's going to be the end of Donald Trump and the end of the Republican Party. And a new independent libertarian voice may rise up that is 100% committed to peace and not isolationism, but complete neutrality. That's the voice that Americans are waiting to listen to and respond to, is a voice of peace and neutrality, not war and Israel's slave. And I don't think the Republicans are capable of that. Now, I don't think Donald Trump is capable of that. So he may be pushed out, and someone else saying that could rise. But we'll see, Jim.
Scott, don't overlook the 2020 election was stolen. Trump won the election. He had like 100 million to 37 for Biden. Until we fix the election, we won't have democracy in America. He kept us out of war for 4 years. He could have kept us out of war for four more.
Let me correct one thing. Donald Trump facilitated the Ukrainian aggression against Russia. Donald Trump gave Poroshenko weapons. He gave the green light to Poroshenko to engage in the genocide he was doing. And his flatulent statements of this would never have happened if I was president is completely wrong, because Putin would not have backed down. He couldn't have. So Trump is responsible for a lot of what happened in Ukraine. Whether he knows it or not is another matter. And this thing that's happening in Israel, Trump was responsible for that to a large degree, because the Zionists manipulated him into moving the U.S. embassy in Jerusalem. So I can give him a pass out of ignorance, but if he's doing it out of philosophical adoration of the Jews in Israel and Christian Zionism, I think that will be his undoing, as the political currents are going to blow up like Old Faithful. But, I'll defer back to you. Go ahead.
Great points. Brian, your thoughts.
Well, who cares if we are a voice if we can't be trusted? I mean, who cares what we say if we're just a bunch of damn liars? I mean, the Minsk agreements were just designed to set up this whole thing with Ukraine and Russia. We backed out on every word that we put out there. We have no character anymore. And I don't, why is, so we're reading all these articles about the whole world beefing up for another big major military conflict. Oh, everybody's building new tanks and new planes and new this. Why? Because nobody can be trusted when it's a world full of liars. We have no character. By the way, I like Donald Trump. I like the fact that Donald Trump's there and he's threatening to drain the swamp or promising us that he's going to. Does he have the character that the world needs? I don't know. Maybe he does. Maybe he doesn't. I guess we'll find out when the rubber meets the road. A New York politician turned basically Republican. Hey, I like Donald Trump. He's got power. He's got the power of the people. He's made a lot of promises, but show me a prosecution. Show me somebody who's been in trouble for lying in America. Show me somebody who's been in trouble for lying around the world. We go to war with our neighbor because we cannot trust them to keep their end of the agreement anymore. They've lied. They've deceived. They can't be trusted anymore. This is the same thing that happens next door. And it's the same thing that's erupting all over in the Middle East, all over the place. Israel rolls out these false flag bullshit deceptions. Of course the guys in Jordan know. Of course the guys in Saudi Arabia know. You think they don't know what's going on? Hell, I could figure it out from my computer here in Texas. Everybody knows. Israel can't be trusted. America can't be trusted because we have no character anymore. Everything we say turns to bullshit. So who cares what we say? Until we start to do the right thing, this nation will not be put back into a position of hegemony again, ever.
Well said. I think that's exactly right. Meanwhile, Air Force confirms drone operations over Gaza. How involved with the Pentagon becomes supporting Israel? Very disturbing. U.S. military confirms it's carrying out drone operation over Gaza, part of a broader support for Israel. Confirming the drone op, Pentagon spokesman Brigadier General Patrick Ryder stated drone flights had begun on October 7th, occurred along with providing advice and support to our Israeli partner as they work on hostage recovery. MQ-9 Reaper drones had previously been seen circling Gaza. They're marking their first stops. U.S. officials cited by the New York Times said the drone would pass potential leads to the Israeli Defense Forces should they locate hostages held by militia groups. Alongside unexpected success against Israeli armor during ground operating, Palestinian militias are reported to have neutralized the number of Israeli aircraft in recent weeks, with American Reaper drone operators potentially putting the aircraft at risk. Reaper drones have operated widely over the Middle East for years, intercepted multiple times by Russian aircraft when violating Syrian airspace. An Operation CIA-operated Reaper drone was also used to assassinate General Qasem Soleimani in January of 2020, for which we are forever stained. Alongside unexpected success against Israeli armor during ground ops, Palestinian militias are reported to have neutralized a number of Israeli aircraft in recent weeks, with American Reaper drone operators potentially putting the aircraft at risk. This is a number of Middle East CSIS sources reported that U.S. military had deployed 5,000 personnel to participate in the operation in Gaza. It's been denied by American officials, but they went in on the ground ops and they were shot up. It's been confirmed with senior American officials that city fighting had been deployed as advisors to Israeli forces. Douglas McGregor, state Israeli special forces entered into Gaza, accompanied by American special forces. In the last 24 hours, some of our special force and Israeli special force went into Gaza to reconnoiter, to plan how they might free the hostages and make an impact. And they were shot to pieces and took heavy losses, as I understand it. Member of Hamas political leadership, Ali Barakay, indicated the party perceived the U.S. as becoming increasingly involved, stating that the Palestinian political group didn't expect this much of a response from Washington. An Israeli response? Yes, we expected that. But what we're seeing now is the entrance of the U.S. into battle. This we did not count on. The U.S. has moved to expand military facilities in Israel, struck Hamas forces in Syria and Iraq, and massively escalated its military presence while replenishing Israeli military stocks. America's NATO ally, Turkey, has also seen jihadist militia groups under its influence, such as the al-Nusra Front, escalate attacks on Hamas ally Syria since the Israeli-Palestinian hostilities broke out. Meanwhile, and I find this absolutely incredible that this was published, U.S. media warned F-35 new bomb will allow one stealth fighter to kill 310,000 Russians in Moscow. The U.S. new B-61-13 tactical nuclear bomb will allow a single F-35 fifth-generation fighter to kill over 310,000 inhabitants at Moscow in a single strike. According to Newsweek, should the bomb be dropped on central St. Petersburg, even more densely populated, death toll would rise to 360,000, while anything within a half-mile radius would be vaporized by a massive fireball. Those within 2 miles would die within a month of radiation exposure. 15% would die of cancer. Many others survive life-altering burns. Reports on the prospect of nuclear war have been published with growing frequency since tension between Russia and NATO increased in early 2022. Growing acknowledgement that the Russian-Ukraine war is going badly for Western interests, raising a possibility of a Western bloc intervention in the theater against Russian forces. The U.S. military now planned to develop the new B-61-13 bomb on October 27, expected to have a max yield of around 350 kilotons compared to a max of around 50 on the widely used B-61-12 bomb. The widely used, and a yield of just 50 kilotons on the little boy used to destroy Hiroshima in 1945. A Pentagon report summarized, the new bomb was intended to provide the president with additional options against certain harder and large area military targets. Here's an F-35. The Russian Defense Ministry and civilian leadership have raised serious concerns regarding NATO's rapidly expanding nuclear strike capability near Russian territory, with tactical nuclear weapons like the B-61 bombs seen as a serious threat, as more usable assets compared to strategic nuclear, which have even larger yields. Although still plagued with over 800 performance bugs, considered far from ready for high-intensity combat, the F-35 still poses a major threat to Russia, not only as an airborne sensor platform, air-to-air combat, and strike fighter, but for potential to serve as a nuclear bomber. As the only Western stealth fighter capable of carrying nuclear weapons, the F-35 ability to evade detection has made a large number deployed across the Russian border to the Arctic and the Western Pacific highly threatening, posing a far greater challenge to air defense than old fighter classes. America's ability to deliver nuclear strikes using self-aircraft is set to be expanded considerably, not only as issues with the F-35 are addressed, but as a new B-21 stealth bomber is brought into service with the potential to deploy multiple nuclear warheads per aircraft. Here's, however, the Russian S-400. Russia has invested heavily in a range of assets capable of providing a degree of protection against stealth fighters, including a ground-based air defense network, widely considered the world's most formidable. At the core is the S-400, which deploys radar and multiple complementary wave bands to improve detection capability against stealth aircraft, with new Su-35 and 57 fighters also deploying multiple radar for similar purposes. The new S-500 has increased the network's situational awareness while providing ability to neutralize satellites and airborne refueling aircraft at extreme ranges, which are key to F-35 operations. Russia has also invested heavily in enhancing its capabilities to strike air bases hosting F-35s across enemy territory, including the American mainland itself, the fighters being particularly vulnerable to such attacks due to their high maintenance needs and short ranges. These characteristics force them to spend considerable time on the ground for each hour in the air and require bases near their target to operate effectively. Scott, your thoughts?
Well, if any foolish American delusional general or politician like Lindsey Graham or others thought for a second that you could detonate a nuclear bomb over St. Petersburg or Russia and achieve anything other than the annihilation of the United States, he's an absolute fool. Russia has already said it would react to anything like that, and it would use nuclear weapons if they were about to be attacked. And if they had already been attacked, and their response would be annihilatory, I could see them wiping off everything within the Washington, D.C. corridor, everything within the Beltway, including Herndon, Virginia, Reston, Virginia, the military industrial complex contractors in Tyson's Corner, Crystal City, the Pentagon, everything in the arsenal of the American government would be destroyed. Including probably, you know, some of the more economic factories in the United States, whether Chicago, Silicon Valley, New York. Russia, you know, is no doubt played this out many, many times. What happens if the United States fires a nuclear weapon? What happens? And I think we're also looking at the annihilation of the American bases in Syria and Qatar and elsewhere. So, you know, the claims of having some sort of secret sneak blitzkrieg advantage over Russia is delusional. When you look at their weapons, you look at their men, you look at their hypersonic missiles, you look at their torpedoes, you look at their kinetic capabilities, and the world that is standing with them, any action by the United States would only result and the complete dismemberment of America, the cutting it off from everything in the world, I could see a nuclear annihilation of the much of the East Coast as a result. Russia isn't about invading America. It's not about blowing up farms in Kansas, but they will take out the American military industrial complex heart, pursuant and according with what Eisenhower said, and we are at that part. The military industrial media complex, big pharma complex, whatever you want to call them, has now become a threat to the American people like before. So, and I said this on my interview on Press TV, I said, Americans are captured people that are not behind this conflict, but the bribes that have come to the American politicians from the Israelis animates their enthusiasm for continuing to give money to Israel because they know it will go into a circulatory door and it will wind up in their political coffers. So Schumer and Mitch McConnell and Romney and all of these other
political hacks, Scott was about to say. Brian, pick up your thoughts.
Well, I completely agree with that. Look, we have something called term limits here in some places. They're not necessarily the answer to the problem. The answer to the problem is that we need to get the right politicians in that are willing to do the right thing. The problem is that every time you have an election cycle, they've got to raise money. And they raise money from people that are a part of the lobbies. That includes the military industrial complex, security industrial complex. Israel obviously gets billions and billions of dollars from the United States. I think it's been calculated somewhere near $170 billion over the previous 10 years or 20 years or something. That number's not right. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but it's about the same amount that we've been given to Ukraine. There are efforts in the United States government to start to sort of clean out some of the corruption. I'm glad to see them developing. I don't think we've done nearly enough to deal with it because of the two-party system. I think the Democrats are the ones that are pushing the moral corruption a lot more than you're seeing from the Republicans, but there's certainly examples of Republicans that have gone overboard. But that is the trick, isn't it? We're not going to be trusted for our word by the rest of the world until we have representatives and politicians who are willing to do what they say they're going to do and do the right thing. Very difficult to achieve right now. And I think the only way we're going to get that to come back into play is with a series of prosecutions and a new presidential leader and maybe new control of the Senate. And maybe a few more Matt Gaetzes will start to come out of the closet since he's done such a good job of getting the Rhino McCarthy out of the way. Not going to necessarily say that the replacement is who I'd prefer, but at least he got McCarthy out of the way. I like Gaetz. I like him as a model and as a style because he's a great communicator. I think he's got a semblance of character. We've got to wait and see how this next election cycle goes with Donald J. Trump, if we're even here. And Scott's probably right. They're probably going to blow the shit out of this place anyway. I don't know if we can avoid that. I don't know if it can be stopped. I don't know if this army coming across the border on the south side will be activated. I don't know if hyperinflation is going to set in. I don't know if food prices are going to skyrocket. I don't know if we're going to run out of gas or energy or an EMP is going to hit. I don't know any of those things, which is why, in the big picture, get your life right. Square it up. Be a good man. That's what our nation needs, is more good men right now. If we have enough of them, we'll be able to get the right politicians in place.
Only if we fix the election system, as I've observed before, Brian. The Republicans could run Jesus Christ as their candidate, and they still lose to a Joe Biden the way it's rigged now. Scott, did you want to add a further? You were talking about the money recycled to the political hacks in Washington when you were cut off.
Yeah, they didn't like what I was saying, and they shut down my internet out of the blue. Go figure that. No, I think that's what's coming, you know, coming next. And I agree with Brian. This is naturally causing the rise of real leaders, real manly alpha male, sigma male leaders, not these betas and these libtards. Real manly Davy Crockett, John Wayne type of individuals, rustic, that are not going to put up with this bullshit, this social experimentation that we've been subjected to since the 1960s and 70s. The revival and the renaissance of America starts with real men rising up and just marching forward. And anything that doesn't, anything that gets in their way, anything that gets in the way of natural law or the family, or entrepreneurship or any of the classic American virtues, is going to be stomped down and crushed. I see American real manly leadership rising up like never before, because when our backs are put against the wall, we will respond with that that Thermopylae ferocity of focus and dedication. And as someone who's come from Scottish roots and my history and my family, I know what it is to have a certain attitude of battle in which you are committed to war and fight to the death. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, who teaches my hands to fight, my fingers to war, or war to fight, war, hands to war and fingers to fight. So I think we're on that trajectory, Jim.
Thank you. Thank you both. Meanwhile, Douglas McGregor warns, in Ukraine, Washington underestimated Russian resolve and military power. Washington should not repeat this mistake by underestimating the potential for a regional Muslim alliance that could threaten Israel's existence. A possibility that Israel could end up like Ukraine should not be discounted. Meanwhile, the Gaza genocide continues. Israel is an unrestrained monster that endangers us all, Philip Giraldi writes. Mainstream media and official government commentary on the violence in Gaza appears to have acquired a certain rhythm to make sure everyone understands it is the poor Israelis who are the real victims being assailed by a group called Hamas, invariably labeled as terrorists. It is absolutely obligatory in the first paragraph of an article on developments in the fighting to remind the reader that on October 7th, the terrorist group Hamas invaded Israel and killed 1,400 peace-loving Israelis, taking an additional 200 as hostages. Israel is described as retaliating, is frequently seen as relevant to state it was the most dreadful mass killing of Jews since the alleged Holocaust. To add a bit of current cultural and historic relevance, 9/11 and Pearl Harbor are often cited to suggest it was both a surprise attack and a game changer in terms of how Israel now sees the external threat and will have to harden its national security imperatives. And there might even be insert a comment from Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi or Senator Chuck Schumer that Israel has a right to defend itself. Joe Biden was also quoted as saying, it was 15 9/11s for Israel, given the comparative size and population of the U.S. and the Jewish state, emphasizing the enormity of the tragedy. In America, Fox News have been a leader in pumping out the interviews and reports suggesting America's Jewish students are so terrified by the threats implicit and explicit in the anti-Semitic rage manifest on college campuses and elsewhere, they've stopped eating at the university kosher dining halls, lest they become the targets of a madman. And there are the inevitable calls to completely ban gatherings expressing sympathies with the Palestinians or even waving or displaying Palestine's flag. The moaning about surging anti-Semitism is indeed all over the mainstream media, even though there are quite a few things wrong with the narrative about Israel, Palestine, and the events of October 7th and after. In short, the American and European public are being subjected to the usual con job when it comes to anything having to do with Israel. And the propagandization is certainly also given additional efficacy when it's repeated by senior politicians coming from both parties with a unanimous Senate vote of 97-0, House of Rep vote of 412-10 on resolution pledging unconditional and total support for Israel and whatever it chooses to do, backed up by two U.S. carry group plus Marines standing by in the Eastern Mediterranean, breaking pro-Palestinian mob attempts to scale and break down White House fence. A massive pro-Palestinian protest broke out at the Capitol today. That was Sunday. Protesters made their way through D.C. chanting anti-Semitic language, leaving anti-Semitic graffiti all over town. As the night grew near, the mob descended on the White House, where they plastered propaganda in red paint, some even attempting to scale events and break it down. Steve Nelson, the White House northwest entrance had been smeared with red paint, and protesters are pushing the gate November 4th. Fox News, a White House fence was vandalized Saturday night with red paint, and pro-Palestinian protesters took the gate. One entrance to the executive mansion is chanted, F Joe Biden, the New York Post reported. They also covered the General Market Day Lafayette statue with graffiti and Palestinian flags, according to social media. The protests were rallying against the Biden admin's support for Israel and the war against Hamas. Some were again heard chanting, F Joe Biden. Demonstrators also chanted, Free, free Palestine and ceasefire now. I'm sure none of these protesters will be prosecuted. Look at the size. I repeat, the largest pro-Palestine protest in U.S. history. The center of Washington, D.C. is occupied by both Arabs and Jews, calling for freedom, democracy, rights for all, and that means ending the Zionist colonization. Look at that crowd. Meanwhile, there's an absurd story. This time Israel will finish the job. This is in a publication called American Greatness that's actually supported by Tucker Carlson, but this is pure propaganda. The murderous attack perpetrated by Hamas tore the mask off the poor, suffering Palestinians. There are many reasons for a sane person to regret the existence of Hamas, the savage Sunni militia that controls the Gaza Strip. Founded in 1987, and they don't say Israel was involved, but Israel created it. The group is specialized in terror attacks against Israelis while maintaining vigorous side concession, fomenting anti-Western sentiment, keeping their own populace in a state of wretched poverty. Such are the convoluted workings of Providence that the world may eventually find itself grimly grateful for what one perceptive observer called the Sabbath massacres. The barbaric slaughter perpetrated by Hamas on October 7th, which left some 1,400 dead, thousands wounded, and more than 200 kidnapped and held hostage. The main reason to be grateful for this horrific carnage falls from the revelation it afforded in the first place by acting with such savage and sanguinary abandon, deliberately targeting the young and helpless, the old and infirm, raping, mutilating, beheading. Hamas, in effect, signed its own death warrant. We've seen all the usual suspects culminating against Israel, the Zionists, the Jews. A prominent Hamas spokesman called Gilad Hamad said in an interview, the Sabbath massacre of October 7th was only the start. There would be many more similar attacks until Israel is annihilated. But that is idle, impotent imprecation of a peace with King Lear's apostolic rant against his sisters. No, you unnatural hags, I will have such revenge on you both that all the world shall. I will do such things. What they are, yet I know not, but they shall be the terrors of the earth. One of the most brilliant spokesmen for the Israeli Defense Force, Colonel Jonathan Conricus, was right when he described Hamas as a rotten, violent, cowardly terrorist. That was Hamad who slit the throat of any Israeli he chanced upon, but he's likely to chance upon very few. If, as Conricus has explained in patient, if steely detail, the IDF is going to dismantle Hamas piece by piece, tunnel by tunnel, terrorist by terrorist. The Israelis will, as they've always done, in sharp contrast with the procedure of Hamas, proceed deliberately and methodically, taking care to minimize civilian casualties, but without bowing to the illegal emotional blackmail of using civilians as human shields, a regular practice of Hamas in blatant contravention of the Geneva Conventions, builds command centers and rocket launchers under or adjacent to hospitals, schools, mosques, etc., and employs ambulances as taxis across war zones, another violation of the rules of war. But the main point is, in sharp contradistinction to many other times Israel has responded militarily to Arab or Palestinian aggression, this time all signs are that they will finish the job. In the past, Israel has been cowed by world opinion, at marshy will-o'-the-wisp that emanate from such sinkholes as United Nations and newsrooms of such discredited entities as the New York Times and CNN. But this time, I predict the extreme savagery of the October 7th attack, an attack that killed more Jews than any episode since the Holocaust, has put steel in the Israeli response. Hamas days are numbered, and the number is not large. That is one real or paradoxical reason to be grateful for the attack by Hamas. They did not heed Gutenstein's sage admonition to know how far to go in, going too far. They went all the way, and they will pay the ultimate price for their horrible bloodletting. The other chief reason this grisly event may inspire gratitude is it seems to have shaken the world awake, disrupting the pathetic, radical Sheikh infatuation with this species of violent anti-Western guilt-mongering. Yes, Western colleges and universities, including the richest and most pampered, are full of anti-Semitic, pro-Palestine animus. from Harvard to Stanford, Columbia, Cornell, Georgetown, Penn. Students and faculty are making fools of themselves by mouthing such goads to genocide as, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. But these little eruptions, along with the carefully coordinated mass rallies in major cities throughout the Western world, conceal an inexorable process of disenchantment. Much publicized has been the withdrawal of financial support by scores of major donors to the university industrial complex. The loss of money may sting at some campuses. For most, it will be but a rounding error. What will matter more than the loss of that much more precious form of spiritual currency, legitimacy? Whatever else it accomplished, the murderous attack perpetrated by Hamas tore the mask off of the poor, suffering Palestinians and revealed the entire operation as a bloodthirsty, anti-civilizational impulse we have long known it to be. For that, at least, we must be grateful for this excruciating moment of clarity. Meanwhile, French senators proposed a bill to ban criticism of Zionism. A group of 16 French senators have introduced a bill to criminalize criticism of Zionism. Senators Stephanie LaRudler said anti-Zionism is linked to an increase in anti-Semitism. Zionism, the racist Jewish nationalist movement, has led to the forced displacement of over 1 million Palestinians and the arrest of 1 million more, according to renowned Israeli historian Ilan Pappe. Zionism was a colonist movement that penetrated the Palestinian homeland by force, with a wish to colonize the country and with possible expansionist ambitions to penetrate the heart of the Arab world. Last month, France banned pro-Palestine protests because they're likely to generate disturbances to the public order, Interior Minister Gerald Darmanin said. He added, any organization of such protests will lead to arrest. A comment or two, Helen 44 Yemen. All the Zionist leaders, without exception, said Zionism was the return of the Jews back to Palestine. They said that they were the descendants of the ancient Hebrews who were expelled by the Romans, and therefore it was their right to return back to the place from where they were expelled. Today, the European Jews face a major problem making this claim because DNA arrived and confirmed the European Jews are actually 100% European. Therefore, there's no way European Jews of today could possibly be descended from any people in the Middle East, since they are 100% European according to their own DNA. And Jamal X, no need for the bill. Nobody criticized them when the dancing Israelis humiliated the American by dancing on the graves of 3,000 Americans on 9/11. This was a great insult to the 9/11 families who are still waiting for justice, and yet nothing was done. Meanwhile, countdown to Armageddon, Joaquin Egopian observes. On Sunday, October 28th, Putnik revealed a bombshell reporting that three IDF divisions were joined by several U.S. brigades, amounting to 5,000 American boots on the ground as part of a joint invasion operation in Gaza, begun on Saturday, October 28. This comes after the U.S. repeatedly lied, denying it would send troops to Israel. Yet last weekend, it was unveiled that since August of 2023, the U.S. has covertly been building a U.S. military base inside Israel, just 20 miles from Gaza, in preparation for this apparent joint U.S.-Israeli ground war invasion. In other words, the bottom line is, from the very outset, planned months in advance, this Israeli-Hamas war was not triggered by the October 7th Hamas surprise attack whatsoever. That was merely the pre-planned stage excuse of a lie to justify destroying Gaza and unleashing a genocide against Palestinians. If the Sputnik article turns out true, that the U.S. has American soldiers on the ground in Gaza fighting and killing Palestinians alongside Israel, it's a huge provocation That one would not be tolerated long by unified Islamic nations in the Middle East and beyond. Add the fact that extermination of Palestinians is a jointly planned U.S.-Israel agenda, and you have the blueprint for potential nuclear World War III Armageddon exploding right now in the Middle East. Directly contradicting the October 20th Sputnik article is a Thursday, November 2nd piece in Russia's state-owned RT that discloses the White House announcement. American soldiers will not be deployed to Gaza during or after the current phase of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. On October 12th, Politico also stated the White House decided not to put boots on the ground in Gaza, adding the decision could be revisited. Little more than 2 weeks ago, Lloyd Austin ordered 2,000 more troops for potential deployment to the Israeli-Hamas war front. It's unclear whether U.S. soldiers are currently serving on the ground in Israel or Gaza. A bear conflicting reports and caveat that U.S. government could change its mind at any time, reinforced by Washington's horrendous historical track record of rampant deceit in nonstop U.S. wars. If the Sputnik story is accurate, it comes as no surprise if 5,000 or more U.S. troops are engaged in joint operations, launching a U.S. IDF ground war in Gaza. Even if American boots are not on the ground in Gaza, like in Ukraine, U.S. intelligence reconnaissance made bombs, weapons, or cold-bloodedly killing thousands of Palestinians. So it's a U.S.-Israel war any way you look at it. Add to this a brief glimpse of recent U.S. history in Ukraine, which bears this point out. After the illegal U.S. coup in Kiev in 2014, U.S. and NATO deceptively proceeded to train and build up Europe's largest army in Ukraine as a sworn enemy of Russia. U.S. plotted deception with Germany and France to sign two Minsk agreements claiming a ceasefire between Ukraine military forces and the breakaway Donbass region comprised of ethnic Russians who declared independence from Kiev in 2014. Yet over the next 8 years, the U.S. NATO trained and equipped neo-Nazi battalions, killed 14,000 ethnic Russian Donbass residents, forcing Putin in February 2022 to defend his fellow ethnic Russians in Donbass with a special military operation to denazify and demilitarize Ukraine. It now appears a similar deceptive pattern is repeating itself in the Middle East by the not-so-hidden warmongers in Washington, D.C., fighting yet another war for the Zionist Greater Israel Project. After U.S. and Israel co-engineered the October to justify the brutal ethnic cleansing, now bodily removing them from their ancient homeland, the U.S. is a co-belligerent combatant with boots on the ground in total support of Israel's apartheid genocidal policy. The same dirty fingerprints are left at the crime scene of every bloodthirsty imperialistic war America never stopped fighting, on record at war somewhere in the world 93% of the time on Earth, repeatedly using the same illicit false tactics in every war since World War II, always on the wrong side of history, both morally and strategically. Of course, in recent years, it's become increasingly evident U.S. boots on the ground are not because the American people consent or want them. It's because the neocon war-loving puppets in D.C. simply do what they are told by their satanic bloodline masters, the Rothschild City of London World Economic Foreign Controllers, who decide long ago to throw the far too affluent West under the geopolitical bus. Western regimes are simply following orders from the top of the power pyramid. Even those orders mean the selected puppets are treasonously imposing suicide on their own citizens and nations. Israeli military was quick to tout initial success for last weekend's start of the ground invasion phase, though the alt-news military outlet South Front reported IDF encountered stiff opposition from entrenched Hamas resistance. Per IDF spokesman General Daniel Hagari on Saturday, October 28th, Israel stepped up its missile strikes in Gaza, targeting 450 Hamas operational command centers, observation posts, anti-tank missile posts, engaging in heavy military with Hamas. Scott, your thoughts?
Well, it's quite overwhelming and accurate in depicting all of these things. I think we're being set up for a tremendous fall. There's no moral victory here. As McGregor and others have said, the current Middle East is not what it was in 1973. This is an entirely different Middle East, an entirely different world. The world has watched for 20 years since the 9/11 wars were unleashed and the false flag events of the 9/11 attacks. Every nation and people in Europe and the rest of the world knows that, except Americans who are schizophrenic and blind over this because they don't want to admit that we did this to ourselves. And I think Zionism and political Zionism is being defined by the actions of the Israelis against the Palestinians. So these futile efforts to silence anti-Zionism in France with laws saying people will be arrested is complete nonsense. And I have to say, Trump and DeSantis have put out the same kind of messages that kids in Palestinian protest groups should be kicked out of school or kicked off campus. It's totally un-American. And that's been the problem. We've got people thinking that they can make such statements and call them constitutional. They're not. If you want to protest the Palestinians or protest the Israelis or protest the ladybugs of the world, that's your American right. So this foolishness of trying to outlaw this in France is only going to result in more mass rallies, and those mass rallies are going to be translated into political revolutions. Remember, I've said it before, spiritual winds move political sails. And the spiritual winds that are going to be coming out of the mouths of the religious cleric leadership in every mosque and every Shiite and every Sunni establishment from Libya to Iran to Pakistan to Indonesia, the spiritual winds coming out of their mouths is going to be go to Gaza, go defend the women and children, and you will avoid torments of the grave and you will be a martyr and you will go to heaven directly. I said that when I was in the State Department, that was the weak link. Nobody listened, and as a result, nobody wanted to because it would have ended much of these wars. But that was the weak link then, and it is the interlocutor now to this massive train wreck that's coming. The spiritual rewards of jihad are the next message to come out of every cleric's mouth, and then you're going to see fireworks that we've never seen before, Jim.
Well said, Scott. Brian.
Julian Assange released the Podesta and Clinton emails, which opened up Pizzagate, which led us to a guy by the name of Jeffrey Epstein. We had all the evidence, but we didn't have the will to put anyone down. We still don't have the will to put anybody in cuffs over any of that stuff. And Jeffrey Epstein, if you know what's under the hood, you'll understand that it's a Mossad blackmail operation designed to control billionaires into getting them on the side of Israel and on the side of the machine. We have failed to stop this disease from destroying our nation. We did this because we didn't pursue justice. Our failure that's going to lead to this war and all this blood that's on our hands is because we wouldn't prosecute bad politicians, bad power players that had done things wrong. We instead chose to get the money, and we got it coming.
Well said, both excellent today. Don, take us out.
You're on mute, Don.
Oh boy, what a show this has been. And we are really the target. They're going to take us all out here. So this is November 5th. This is quite the show. I mean, I can't believe what all the hell is happening in this world, but it seems like it's really important that you get the straight news. straight truth instead of the false news that you're getting on the media. And where else are you going to find it? I mean, Jim Fetcher brings it right to the heart, and nobody else can do that like Scott and Brian. So come back again next week. We'll hopefully have a reconciliation standing here. So we're doing good here. So thanks so much for watching today, and see you next week, okay? Share this widely. Nobody else will get it unless you do it. God bless.